we talk an awful lot about the culture here on Issues, Etc. It's actually the second part of our mandate is to respond to the illogical and to the, in many ways, just completely unreasonable presuppositions that are so popular out there in the culture. But it's more than just illogic. It's more than just kind of the postmodern mindset that needs a response. There are dangers presented by the culture. And we're going to be talking in this hour of Issues, Etc. about what those dangers are and how dangerous they really are. Things that might at first seem innocuous turn out to be more dangerous than you think. And I guess where it really hits home is not so much with the seasoned person out there mingling in the culture who knows where the dangers are, but with our kids, with our families. They are not aware of what the dangers are. Now, how do we protect our families in a culture that, in the words of our guest in this hour, has gone stark raving mad? Rebecca Hagelin is our guest here in this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The best caller will get a copy of Rebecca's book, Home Invasion, or our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Best emailer as well, a copy of Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Rebecca Hagelin is Vice President of the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. She writes a weekly column called Heartbeat for WorldNetDaily.com and for TownHall.com. You may have read what she's written there, and she's also author of this new book titled Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. Rebecca, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I have looked at the reviews of this book and read through your book, and I want to know how you respond to what I saw common in some of the reviews, which is Hagelin is advocating for basically the family to take on a siege mentality. Raise the drawbridge, put the alligators in the moat, and peep out through our tiny little windows, but do no longer engage the culture. How do you respond to that?
They haven't read the book. That's how I respond. Because home invasion is not about building walls that separate your family from the rest of the world. It's about building within your children the strength of character and a moral compass to help them navigate the world and then to stand up to the world and be the leaders of tomorrow. So there is always a knee-jerk reaction from a certain segment of the population anytime you tell parents to take control of their homes. And it's a defeatist mentality that part of the world has. And it's really one of those terms. You know, you hear the term sometimes overprotective. That is a term that is used to have parents relinquish their authority over their kids. It's like using the term racist or sexist. It's a negative term, and the use of it is designed to have parents doubt themselves and their authority. Well, home invasion is all about parents making their homes a nurturing environment that teaches moral values so that their kids can stand up to this crazy culture we live in.
Well, we cannot avoid culture any more than fish can avoid water.
Right.
And in many ways, I think someone very smart once said, you know, you could really surprise a fish by telling them all about water because they're unaware of it. To what degree are the dangers of culture those dangers that we are unaware of because it is the atmosphere which we breathe?
Well, the first thing parents have to realize is that today's culture is very different from that in which any other generation has grown up in this country. One of the things that you will frequently hear people say is, oh, well, when I was a kid, my parents thought the Beatles were the devil, you know, and they didn't like my long hair. But when you were a kid and when I was a kid, you couldn't go into your bedroom and log on to all kinds of hardcore porn. You couldn't go online and go to chat rooms and chat with strangers who would do you harm. You didn't have TVs in your bedroom where you were watching things like MTV. Our culture today is designed to, by the mass marketers, to get at the $150 billion a year that are being spent on teenagers. And our kids are the most marketed to generation in the entire nation. And until parents stand up and take a look and step back, actually, and assess the pressures that are on their kids, you're never going to know how bad it really is.
Rebecca, you write this early in the book, while we're subject to body searches at airports, increased monitoring of communications, and constantly changing terror alerts, all to combat terrorists who would destroy our nation, we are unwittingly inviting cultural terrorists into our homes under the guise of entertainment and education, and unwittingly allowing them to destroy our sensibilities, personal values, and the innocence of our children. You're talking there about cultural terrorism. Is that too strong a word?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when we all think of the word terrorism, you know, unfortunately, we know what that means, to be attacked by foreign terrorists because of 9/11. But the act of terrorism is an act of taking an entire population of people and making them feel helpless and afraid. And I would submit that many of our parents feel helpless. They feel like the culture really is attacking all the time. We shrug our shoulders, so we then become victims of it ourselves and slaves to this fear or to this inaction on our part. And then we also have to remember that nations can fall from foreign aggressors who attack them, or like the ancient Roman Empire, which did not fall from foreign aggressors, nations can fall from it from within. And if you just look at the simple statistics, you see a picture of how America is unraveling. And I hate to say that, but it's so true. Just look at, for instance, in 1950, for every 100 children that were born in 1950, 12 were entering a broken family. That is, they were either born out of wedlock or they were born to parents who would soon divorce. Well, by the year 2000, that number has increased fivefold. And now, for every 100 children that are born, 60 are born into a family that is broken or will soon be broken by divorce. Also, you look at the very horrible statistic that 50% of the brand new sexually transmitted diseases cases every year are now in young people ages 16 through 24. And then let's look to higher education. The Chronicles of Higher Education, which is the major publication that reports on what's going on in college campuses and universities across the country, has had a very disturbing trend of articles in the last couple years, and that is reporting on the number of 17- and 18-year-old kids that are entering college now with diagnosed clinical depression and on psychotropics. We've got a problem. Mom and Dad and your kids are headed down a path that would steer them in the wrong direction if you were just letting them go along with the cultural norms. So it's time for parents to be aware of that and take some action.
Rebecca, how would you respond to someone who says, look, the problem is the kids. It's these kids these days. They're out of control.
Yeah, you know, I love the fact that you asked that question, because what I like to say is the problem is not these kids today. The problem is these adults today. Mom, Dad, your battle is not with your children. Here's what you need to know and remember. It's adults who create the hardcore porn sites. It's adults who are sending out spam emails trying to capture your kids through their email accounts. It's adults that run the big media corporations like MTV. Adults own the record labels that are producing hip-hop and rap. It's adults that are designing the thongs for 10-year-olds that dress as our little girls like streetwalkers. Your battle is with adults who have contrary views to what yours are. It's not with your kids. And when we realize that, then parents are more likely to stand up and have conversations with your kids to let them know that the battle is not about them. The battle is about adults who would do their kids harm.
It strikes me as a very sad contrast. We have a generation, 80,000 strong, now getting close to retirement. The baby boom, 80 million strong, the baby boom generation, that many have said, sometimes fairly and unfairly, just simply refused to grow up, remained perpetual adolescents. Their kids, now their grandkids, are being asked to grow up, especially being in terms of being sexualized, at ages when the baby boomers were still in their knickers and throwing their frisbees and still being kids.
Oh, yeah, and not only that, but then you look at the other side of that coin. Kids are more sexualized at earlier ages. You know, the government, through CECAS, which is the Guidelines for Sexual Education in Schools Across the Country, they want to teach our children as young as kindergarten and first grade all about sexuality and homosexuality. And then you look on the flip side of that coin, there was an article in the Washington Post just last year about how kids now in their 20s, okay, young adults, are living at home longer. They're putting off starting families longer. They're putting off getting their first real job longer because they don't know anything about responsibility. So what we're creating is an entirely dependent, highly sexualized generation of kids with no real moral compass that teaches our kids, a culture that teaches our kids that they can't control themselves. So my goodness, they should just use a condom. That there's no real value. You know, they were here, they're created by accident. They're not created, but they're just here by accident from a big bang, and that there's no value. It's time for parents to stand up and take back their homes.
Let's talk about those parents. First mom, then dad. Coming back to an accusation that I think you had mentioned in passing just a moment ago. Someone says, look, Rebecca, you are simply being overprotective of your kids. You're simply asking other people to engage in the same kind of almost obsessive overprotective behavior.
Well, I've got basically five steps that kind of answer that charge. The first one is, mom and dad, sit down and decide in what it is you believe. Envision the adult you want your child to become. What kind of character do you want your child to have? Do you want them to understand respect and to be respected and respectful? Do you want them to have happy, loving families of their own? Do you want them to be people of strong character? If so, once you've determined that, now look at the media that they're consuming on a daily basis. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, today's teens are consuming 6.5 hours of media a day. The number one network choice for teenage girls is MTV, which is highly sexualized content and rude and crude. The number one music genre choice of all teenagers, regardless of race or socioeconomic status, over 60% now say they choose rap and hip-hop as their number one music choice. They're being assaulted in school with graphic sex education. Are any of those messages that I just mentioned, are any of them supportive toward building that adult that you envisioned your child would become? The answer is probably not. And so the second step is, after you've determined what kind of character you want your child to have, the second is just to go through your home and commit on a daily battle to reinforcing the standards you place for your family. You know, I think it's important that I clarify, Todd, that I think technology is one of the greatest gifts God has given us. Technology, modern technology, has the great ability to liberate the American family. I mean, more people can work at home because we have the internet. My goodness, you've got this radio show that, you know, preaches forth and sends forth truth into the airwaves. I love technology, but along with it comes a whole host of people who would just use it for selfish gain. So you harness the best in technology for your family, and you screen out the bad stuff.
We're talking with Rebecca Hagelin. She is author of the book Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark, Raving Mad. Our email address here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You talk at some length in the book about marketing, and it's been long known that the most lucrative marketing target are teenagers to young adults. What is the message? If there is a message that could be boiled down in all of the bombardment of marketing, everywhere they find it, what is the message that's being sent to our kids?
Well, I have a chapter in Home Invasion called Manipulating Minds for Money, and it's crucial that every parent read that chapter because this is the basic message, but there's so much good information in there. The basic message that the marketers are sending our kid are messages like this. Obey your thirst. Do it now. Don't have any kind of morality in your life. Don't let anybody else guide your life. It's a selfless, a very selfish message that preys on our kids' weakest points in their teenage years rather than reaching for their best points of their teenage years. In this chapter, Manipulating Minds for Money, I talk about, for instance, how MTV prides itself in sending out what they call cultural spies, not to learn what teenagers want, but to learn how to manipulate our teenagers. This is a major media corporation, and parents need to know about it.
I was talking with I got a 13-year-old daughter, and she does watch MTV from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to her about, you know, here I am, old dad, telling her about when MTV first started. And she goes, why is it called MTV? I said, well, when it first started, it actually just showed music videos.
Right.
It didn't have ads at first, not at the very first. And it there was no news. There were none of these reality programs. You just sat and watched videos all day long? I was, well, yeah, it was kind of a novelty at the time, but it's amazing. Now it's just not just MTV, it's MTV 2 and 3 and 4, and it's amazing what the kids can see.
Oh, well, there's no question about it. I mean, I would encourage every parent who lets their child watch MTV to sit down and spend an hour watching it, and then tell me if those are the images that you want your daughter to emulate in her life. If that's the behavior you want your son to engage in. You know, we can be very clinical about this if we want to be. The Medical Institute out of Austin, Texas, analyzed MTV programming, and they found that 60 to 70% of the programming is highly sexualized. And of that 60 to 70%, 81% of that connects sex with violence. And the rest is just rude and crude, pretty much. I mean, you've got shows called Jackass. You have their MTV Spring Break specials where you having, scantily clad teenagers with whipped cream all over them and boys are licking it off. I mean, you've got unbelievable stuff. And in the typical American household, 66% of kids now have televisions in their bedroom. And the number one viewing choice for girls is MTV. Kids are shutting the doors, and they are watching in the privacy of their own bedrooms. People engage in all kinds of sex acts that you and I as parents wouldn't dare let live bodies to do on the couch in front of our child. But yet mom innocently stands in the kitchen, or naively stands in the kitchen and makes dinner. It's time for parents to wake up. Not wake up and smell the coffee, but wake up and drink the coffee.
One of the things that also concerns me about the deluge of marketing aimed at our children is not only the message, but also the result, which is, and this is a little less tangible, Rebecca, but it is this, I guess the French used to call it ennui, this unsatisfiable sense of discontent, dissatisfaction with everything.
With everything. I mean, that's what marketing has come. Now, let me just say this, too. I also need to put this disclaimer out. I'm a capitalist. And I believe that advertising and marketing and, you know, the freedom to make a profit is what has made this country one of the economic giants in the history of the world and the leader in the economic world, which has provided more freedom for all of us. But because I've studied marketing for 20 years, I also know how incredibly manipulative marketing can be when it is in the hands of people who all they care about is making a buck. And today's marketing is so manipulative, especially of our teenagers, that unless parents stand in and help kids interpret those messages and understand what's going on, you know, our kids are going to fall victim to it. And it doesn't just result in, you know, our kids having an immoral view of the world or being engaged in morality. It affects their physical safety. It causes kids to spend more money than they should. It leads to more of us having debt, this I want it now, discontent culture we live in. There's a whole host of reasons to parents just taking a few days assessing their homes and then just winning back their homes.
Sandy calls from Alton, Illinois, 1-800-730-2727. Sandy, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your guest. I would like her opinion, possibly, of the culture within our government school systems. This has, you know, been a topic over the last day on this radio program. However, as we speak, I don't know if it's been resolved, but it was reported, a small town over here in Illinois, Mount Olive, Illinois, that high school was in lockdown because they found a note in the boys' bathroom that stated on May 9th, I'm going to bring a gun to school and kill 26 people. And then 2 weeks ago, they had reported they found knives in a locker and a student received satanic literature. And just her comments, please.
Sandy, thank you for the call. Let's talk about the public schools.
Right.
You deal with them at length, and you say that there are steps that can be taken to culturally redeem these institutions. They're not all lost.
That's right. I've got a chapter called Parent-Directed Education, and here's the big message, and then I'll get specifically to her question. The big message is, parents, you have to be involved in your children's education. We have great freedom choices of education in this country, not as many as we should, but every year we get more and more choices through vouchers and school programs, and we have charter schools in many areas. In every state in the nation, parents have the right to opt their kids out of classes they find religiously objectionable, to opt their kids out of sex education. But here's the key. It doesn't matter if you send your children to private school or to public school. You, as a parent, must be involved in your child's education. Somewhere along the way, we got to this mode that we're going to send our kids off to school for 8 hours a day and let somebody else teach them, and we're going to wash our hands of it. And what's happened is parents have lost and given up their God-given responsibility to educate their kids. Now, I believe that every child is different, that God made each child unique, and each year, each child has different needs. So I really advocate parents thinking outside the box. Just for example, I have three teenagers. In our lives, we have homeschooled our kids for 5 years. We've sent them to private school. They're now in public school. We've done a mixture of all three. I don't march to the beat of anybody else's drummer. We march to the beat of our own drummer for what's best for our families. Now, specifically to her question of what sounds like a horrible situation in her local public schools, some public schools are going to be really raunchy that I, as an adult, wouldn't step foot in. And then there are some public schools that are pretty good. They have academic excellence. They're safe. And you may decide that your child at a given time in their lives, a public school, is okay for them. Bottom line is, parents, be on your toes. Be involved. Make those judgments and assessments. You're talking about your children's lives and their futures.
We're talking with Rebecca Hagelin. She's vice president of the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. She writes a weekly column called Heartbeat for WorldNetDaily.com and TownHall.com, and, of course, author of this book. It's brand new, called Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark, Raving Mad. We have an in-studio email address. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number 1-800-730-2727. When we come back from this break, our conversation with Rebecca continues. We're going to be talking about civility. My goodness, do they talk a lot about civility in the halls of politics? Always calling for it, very seldom producing any of it. Well, maybe like charity, civility begins at home. I think, probably similar to our guest here, I was raised in the South where civility was just a matter of course. It was yes, ma'am. It was yes, sir. It was no, ma'am, no, sir. Now, where did that go? Even things like please and thank you. We'll be right back.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What are the distinctive features of conservative, evangelical American Christianity? And why are these features completely at odds with the Bible when it comes to faith, doctrine, the church, and the work of Christ for sinners? How is conservative, evangelical American Christianity more shaped by the culture than by Scripture? The author of Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff, Pastor Clement Preuss, speaks to a church that is enamored with its own relevance. For more information about The Fire and the Staff, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and there on the homepage you'll find the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The book is $26.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff.
Many theologians, why do they compromise?
Answers with Ken Ham of the highly popular Answers in Genesis conferences. Well, Ken, it seems to me that most theologians don't take the book of Genesis as literal history. But why?
You know, I've looked at many books on Genesis from well-known theologians, and I've found interesting trends that show us why there's so much compromise. You see, I've discovered over and over again, these theologians admit, if you take Genesis at face value, just reading the language in a straightforward way, it does teach creation in six literal days just thousands of years ago. But most of these theologians don't believe this. You see, they say that even though the Bible says 6 days, it must mean millions or billions of years, because scientists have shown the earth to be billions of years old. Wait a minute. The reason they don't take Genesis literally is because of what fallible scientists say? Well, these Christian leaders really don't get their idea of billions of years from the Bible, but from outside the Bible. This is really one of the biggest problems in the church today. Congregations across the world have been taught by their leaders to reinterpret the Bible on the basis of man's fallible theories. This undermines the entire authority of the Word.
Many Christian leaders have compromised when it comes to evolutionary astronomy. Discover more when you read our free booklet, Astronomy and the Bible, when you go to AnswersRadio.com or attend this July's mega conference in Virginia and hear astronomers who believe the Bible. Find out more at AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. What's right for you might not be right for me. It's all relative, isn't it? At least that's the message we hear time and again in the media. Haven't we all seen characters on TV who claim that it is the height of arrogance and narrow-mindedness to think that you know the truth and those who disagree with you are wrong? But Bible-believing Christians do know the truth, not about everything, but about God and the love that He has shown us in Christ Jesus. We know these things because we know the Bible is the Word of God. Remind your children when they see TV characters floundering about in a sea of moral relativism, we Christians are different. We have the sure rock of Jesus and His Word to build our lives on. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
May is going to be a great month to play the AM 850 KFUO Daily Bible Quiz. Here's why. Every person who calls the station with a correct answer to the Bible quiz through May 26th will be included in a random drawing on Friday, May 27th for a special English Standard Version Bible autographed by our group of Bible study guest pastors. And the pastors are marking their favorite verses. May is going to be a great month to play the AM 850 KFUO Daily Bible Quiz.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 25 minutes left in our conversation with Rebecca Hagelin, author of the book Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. Okay, internet, television, movies, what's going on in the schools, parents not parenting, marketing, the music. Which of these do you think presents the greatest danger to our families and to our kids? 1-800-730-2727. Time for you to chime in. 1-800-730-2727. The best callers and emailers at issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll get a copy of Rebecca's book called Home Invasion. 1-800-730-2727. Someone might say, Rebecca, why include a chapter in your book on civility, on things like opening the door, showing your elders a bit of respect, saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am, or even something as simple as please and thank you. Those things seem so trivial in our casual Friday, how you do and call everyone by their first name culture.
Well, the two greatest rules or guidelines for all mankind are to love God with all your heart, and the second one is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that translates, number two, into being civil, to treating other people with respect. I mean, the golden rule, my goodness, it used to roll clearly and cleanly off of everyone's tongues. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We have lost that in our society, and certainly our kids today are being raised in a culture of rudeness. If you just turn on a sitcom, it's all about rudeness. It's just amazing. If you listen certainly to the music kids are listening to, rap and hip-hop, it's not just rude, it's violently rude. we would do our kids a great favor by teaching them to be respectful, to respect authority, to think of the other person first, to be selfless instead of selfish, what the culture teaches them. You know, when we were talking about marketing earlier, you know, the number one message that the marketers are giving to our kids is to be selfish, to instantly gratify yourself regardless of the consequences. And the kind of language that they teach our kids, or the kind of messages, just think for a few minutes about these marketing slogans. Here's one, why wait? Here's another, obey your thirst. How about no boundaries? Another one, got the urge? These are all very selfish marketing slogans that really go for the worst in human beings rather than the best. And they lead to this great incivility we have in our society. One of the things I do in Home Invasion is I like to illustrate my points by telling real stories from my life. And I tell a story about driving home a van full of kids from an event, which I treated them at. And one by one, just noticing as the kids got out of the van and said goodnight, how nobody said thank you. It's absurd that we're not teaching our children manners today.
And what is the, if you picture the lack of that everyday civility that used to be the mark of civilization.
Right.
If you consider that, say, the pebble at the top of the slope, mm-hmm. what then is the landslide that ensues at the bottom of the slope?
Well, the landslide is a selfishness that people are looking out for themselves and not others. We have this whole culture of rudeness. There's no respect for authority. One of the things that's really disturbing of what the pop culture teaches is that, yeah, everybody's opinions are the same. And moms and dads don't know any better than you do, you know, 12-year-old girl. Well, that's a vicious lie straight from the pits of hell, if I might be so blunt. We need to teach our kids that they should learn from the elders, that they should have respect for authority, that there are those who've gone before them who are perhaps older and wiser, and they should be treated with that type of respect. Ours is a culture that it's out of control, and there's nothing that we can do that would better serve our kids than, again, to teach them that they have intrinsic value in God's eyes, that there's a God that loves them, and that they are to love him and to love other people.
Another observation that my daughter recently made, and that is, and she's noticed this on her own. Dad didn't have to point it out, even though I'd been noticing it for a long time. The picture of parents in pop culture, be it sitcoms, drama, the movies, she observed in her own way that the moms are usually depicted as so busy as to be distracted and unable to deal with the kids' problems. The kids pretty much making it on their own. Dads are uniformly depicted as just the dog is smarter than dad is in the family.
Yeah, I love that observation. If you sit down and you watch television, I don't mean cable TV even. I just mean regular broadcast primetime programming. And you sit there and you watch it for 30 minutes and just watch the commercials. Dads are portrayed 90% of the time as wimpy and ignorant. And what kind of message is that sending our young boys? What kind of message is that sending about the important roles of fathers and families? I have a whole chapter called Help for Dads because it is crucial in today's culture that dads rise to what their role is and that they understand and that moms understand that the power of a dad is an incredibly powerful force in a home, and it'll be a power for good or a power for bad, but that dads need to step into the shoes that they were designed to fill and be real moral leaders in their family. And the society doesn't teach that. It teaches the kids that dads are disposable.
Paul emailed us at issuesetc@kfuo.org, and he writes this, recent marketing has increased in lewdness. As example, Burger King, Jack in the Box TV spots. Jack in the Box just has someone who's wished they could win Jack's wife for a night. I've seen that ad as well. These are on any time of the day, along with Victoria's Secret commercials. Who has not seen those?
Right.
These companies make it difficult to contact them and complain, writes Paul.
Right. But this is what you have to do. You can spend a lot of time trying to impact the culture, and my goodness, I've worked for 20 years trying to impact public policy in Washington, and I believe that's crucially important, you know, that our laws reflect morality. But you can write advertisers and try to make a difference for the whole culture, and you can get on a crusade and a battle, and all those things are important. But the real first step, the very first step, and it doesn't take an act of Congress to do this, is to take back your home, is to make your home the nurturing environment that it was designed to be. God gave children to parents for a reason. He gave them to us because we are supposed to rise up like mother bears and daddy bears and take care of our kids, to teach them the way, to build in them a moral compass so that they can go out into the world and be the leaders of tomorrow and make a difference.
So talk to moms, and then, if you would, talk to dads. And your best advice on not only that, as you've put it several times here, taking the home back, but also that point at which where the mama bear, the daddy bear, does say, all right, it is now time for you to meet some of the challenges that you meet in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this in a way that will not either throwing our kids in the deep end, mm-hmm. or in such a way so that the kids are given the impression that they can stay away from these dangers perpetually and never really have to grow up.
Well, the first thing you have to do, you know, to decide in your mind, you know, what is the character that you want your child to develop? What kind of adult do you want them to be? You know, if you poll parents across the country, I don't care what faith they're from, what their political persuasion is, parents pretty much want the same thing for their kids. We all want our children to grow up and have happy, loving families of their own. We all want our children to be respected and respectful and to be of strong character. But we're not living on a daily basis like we believe and understand childhood as a training ground. So you have to first envision what you want your child to become and then stick to that vision. Work every single day to preserve that vision and make it a reality. And you have to start by having a great relationship with your child. You know, I'm not talking about coming in and yanking TVs out and throwing them out the bedroom window and pulling the internet out of the house. That's not the right approach. The right approach is to look for all the good things technology can bring us. Hang on to those great things. And then get rid of the garbage that would teach your children a defeatist, selfish attitude, and sit down and lovingly have conversations with your kids. You have to have teaching moments on a daily basis with your children and have one-on-one conversations with them that goes something like this. This is what works with my kids. And my children, by the way, are 17, 16, and 13 years old.
Good luck.
So I'm fighting this cultural battle on a daily basis. But when, you know, a child invariably will come and say something like, oh, but everybody else has seen the movie, why can't I? I sit Nick down on the couch and I say, Nick, you know what I have to do as a parent, what I feel God is directing me to do. I'm raising you the best way I know how, and it's because I love you. And one day very soon, you're going to leave this house as a young adult, and you're going to be out on your own. And you can make choices on your own, but when you're under my roof, it's my responsibility to help you make wise choices and to do what I feel God's called me to do. So, you know what? Let's forget about X movie. Let's get in the car and let's go find something. Out of all the hundreds of thousands of movie titles that exist, let's go find something else for you to watch. And I'll tell you what, the kids appreciate those types of conversations. And as they've gotten older, they will frequently recall some of those moments. They become moments embedded in their minds of a special bond that takes place between mom and child or dad and child.
We used to talk about heroes. Now the term has become role models, which sounds to me so completely neutral as to mean nothing. And it used to be that it was incumbent upon those who took on this, by virtue of being asked to or being forced to, took on this hero status, that they took it seriously. Mm-hmm. But today's role models are hardly heroes.
That's right.
Where are the real heroes now?
Yeah. I think it's incumbent upon parents to look for those real heroes. I mean, our kids are looking at sports stars who, oh my goodness, from Kobe Bryant to O.J. Simpson, are always involved in trouble, and our media loves to glamorize that because our media likes to take people down. There's no question about it. You know, somebody can be a star today and the media darling today, and then tomorrow, you know, the media sniffs blood in the air, and my goodness, they'll take that person down in a heartbeat. There's no loyalty there at all. But you need to find heroes in your own family, in your past. I mean, what about talking about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or some of the great founding fathers and their vision and what heroes they were? What about looking at your grandparents, your children's grandparents who fought valiantly in World War II and sacrificed their blood for freedom? Find heroes in your own family. And again, I mentioned I like to tell stories in my book. I talk about my 5'2" grandmother, who never had a position of power except for that she was a Sunday school teacher, who taught me the importance of voting. Look for heroes in your family and hold up examples for your kids, because, again, the culture isn't giving them a vision of what they can become and what sacrifice is all about.
Okay, folks, let's hear from you, moms and dads. What do you do to protect your children from today's postmodern culture? Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We're talking with Rebecca Hagelin, author of the book Home Invasion. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. One thing I try, and tell me what you think of this, Rebecca. Very conscious of the fact that I'm dealing with a budding teenager who, and they have their antenna out on everything.
Yep, they do.
They notice, they should be spies. They notice so many things. The details of people's lives and dress and everything else. I've decided to capitalize on that when I can. And I call it, have you noticed? That's my latest technique as a dad with my daughter, pointing out to her, hey, honey, since she's noticing this stuff, have you noticed thus and so? And here's a good example of what I did. I think this is just yesterday. I said, honey, have you ever noticed that the big celebrities, you know, the Britney Spears, the ones that are all always in the teen magazines, when you look at their lifestyle, they really live kind of like trailer trash with money. They divorce at a real high rate. They get pregnant out of wedlock. They got better teeth and better hair. But they live like what most people would consider the dregs of society.
Right.
It's just that they have money. Trying to point out things to her that, you know, it's hard to see through the glitz and the glamour sometimes. What do you think?
Todd, that is so wise. I mean, you're doing what I recommend in Home Invasion, and that is look for those teachable moments. When I walk down the mall with my 13-year-old daughter, invariably, every clothing window, you know, has a huge, larger-than-life poster of some 15-year-old girl made up to look like she's in her 20s. She's anorexic and usually in her underwear, okay, or skimpy clothing. And I use that as a teachable moment. Kristen and I will walk by the window, and I'll just turn to Kristen and say something like, isn't it sad that the only way she can feel special is to be in her underwear in the mall? Isn't that sad?
Or my take might be on it, you know, she looks like a prostitute.
Well, sure.
Golly.
I mean, you take those moments and you teach them, you just use them, turn them against the marketers, and use them to teach good messages to your kids. It's incredibly important to do that. And you're right, our kids pick up everything. I mean, it is the naive parent who thinks they can hide anything from their child. Moms, when you're sitting in the dentist office waiting for your turn and you pick up the trashy women's magazine that talks about be a sex diva, your daughter's watching. You know, Dad, when you come home from work and you're tired and exhausted and plop down on the couch and just watch garbage, your sons are watching. They're always watching. They're always listening. And they will emulate us more than they will do what we tell them to do.
1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. Let's talk with Kathy. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. One thing we did with our kids early on, and then we were able to continue it, is instead of listening to pop music ourselves, we turn on classic music, or we listen to other kinds of music, just because I wanted to counter the culture, and I knew that they might develop a music taste for, you know, country or pop, but I wanted them to have a good foundation. And actually, they've never developed a taste for of any of the pop music. And in fact, in one of the Lutheran schools that my children went to, my one son was harassed by a teacher because he didn't like that type of music, which I thought was kind of funny. But anyway, it's just been something that we did with our kids to kind of counter our culture, and they don't seem to have that desire to play the music real loud. Sometimes,
well,
I do when they're not around, but but I never wanted to do that. And it's so funny, if I turn on the radio with them and I listen to something that I maybe listened to as a teenager, they don't like it, and they ask me to turn it off.
Kathy, stay on the line there, because I'm going to send you a copy of this book, Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad, by our guest Rebecca Hagelin. Rebecca, your response.
Well, first of all, it sounds like she has a great singer in the background.
Yes.
And I enjoy hearing the sounds of young children now that mine are all teenagers. She's done a wonderful thing. I mean, this mom is given a gift to her children, and that is she's developed in her children a sensibility, a conscience, and taste. And see, our culture right now is developing poor taste in our children. It's attacking their sensibilities. You know, there's a popular TV show called The O'Reilly Factor. And when my book launched a couple weeks ago, I was on with Bill O'Reilly. And, you know, he asked me, well, you know, what if your son, you know, what about when your son, your 17-year-old son wants to watch, you know, an R-rated movie, or I forgot what his exact question was, you know, what example he used. And I said, my son doesn't want to watch those things. I mean, his sensibilities are offended by the garbage that's on television. He recognizes it's garbage because he's been raised to recognize it as garbage.
That means a lot of planning, doesn't it? Because what it sounded like Kathy was doing was early on thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is what these kids are going to be attracted to, and I'm going to head this off at the pass.
Yes, and that is a brilliant strategy. Ideally, you start very young. And again, you always keep in the forefront of your mind the type of adult you want your child to be and the type of childhood that you want them to have. You know, there's not one parent listening that wants their 14-year-old daughter to be known as a slut or somebody that sleeps around. And there's not one parent listening that wants their 15-year-old son to be known as a slackard. But yet the media messages they're consuming are teaching them to be just those things. So you keep in your mind the vision that you want your child to be now and in the future. And then you take each day one step at a time. You don't have to do it all at once. You know, I wake up in my house every morning with three teenagers, and I make a conscious decision. I say, today I recommit to upholding the values and vision I've set for my children. And it's very doable. And when you plan ahead like that, and then every day you reinforce it by remaking the daily commitment, it becomes a very easy thing to do.
Rebecca, one of the things that this also requires is real contact, and that is, and we've talked about many guests on this one subject, and that is the time spent with kids, especially the time spent around the common table, dinner time,
yeah,
where everyone has an opportunity to reconnect with one another and you know, from a parental standpoint, to check in and say, okay, where's this kid at today? What's going on in their life?
Yes.
Talk about dinner time, if you would.
Well, the Heritage Foundation, where I work in my real job when I'm not writing a book, and actually Home Invasion is my first book, and it's been a real pleasure to do it. But at the Heritage Foundation, we actually did a study and analysis of the impact that the simple act of having family meals together has on children. And we found that families that have dinner fewer than two times a week, the children are twice as likely to have emotional problems and to have problems in school. The simple act of spending time with your kid is something that is one of the greatest gifts you can give your children. You know, we heard a mantra about 10 years ago. You probably remember this. It's quality time, not quantity time, that counts.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Well, Mom and Dad, it's both. If your kids are are in school for 7 hours a day getting all kinds of mixed messages about what they should be or become, and then they're listening to 6.5 hours of media a day or watching 6.5 hours of media a day or playing games or on the internet that much, 15 minutes of quality time is not going to make a difference. It's the more time you spend with your family, the better off your kids will be. And guess what? They don't want another MTV or Super Nintendo. What your kids really want is you.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds here, Rebecca, the best advice I ever got when I was a parish pastor was when our daughter was born so long ago, it seems, from one of the parishioners there, just a salt of the earth guy, talking about discipline, about raising your kids. He just said it very simply. He said, it begins the day you bring them home from the hospital.
Yes. And I ask parents to recall that moment when that warm little baby was placed in their arms for the first time, the joy they felt and the treasure they knew they had. Start treating your children like treasures instead of being so concerned with giving them treasures.
This is what Sean Hannity writes about Rebecca Hagelin's book, Home Invasion. He says, Rebecca's book is a priceless blueprint for parents on how to counter the negative cultural influences that are inundating our children. Read Home Invasion and you'll be prepared to go to battle in the culture war and win. Rebecca Hagelin, thank you for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
It's been a real pleasure, and thanks for all that you do to strengthen America's families.
Thank you. Rebecca Hagelin, Vice President of the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C. She writes a weekly column called Heartbeat for WorldNetDaily.com and TownHall.com. And she's authored this new book, Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. Well, one could be discouraged looking out on the culture. I remember that moment bringing home the first one from the hospital, completely and utterly overwhelmed, not only by the prospect of parenthood, that's big enough, but also the prospect of parenthood in a day and age like this. I don't know if I've ever told this one on the air. I remember distinctly when my wife told me she was pregnant with our first child, sitting in a parking lot in a restaurant not too far from here. She told me this. Came as an absolute and complete shock. You know what happened? In a split moment, they talk about your life flashing before your eyes. My life didn't flash before my eyes. My kid's life flashed before my eyes. I saw it all in an instant, and I was struck with fear. Well, you know what? Good thing they grow up one day at a time, because that's how we are called to be their parents and to guard them from this culture and so many other things, one day at a time. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.